morning. This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer in Long Beach, with our After Deadline program, our Friday morning conversation with interesting local people and newsmakers here in our collaborative partnership with KMUN. Terry Wilson's here, as always, helping me out this morning on the soundboard. Here in the studio with me are three people from Wellspring, which we'll talk about in detail about what exactly that is. I would think just in a general introductory sense, it's an umbrella organization that looks out after healthy youth issues primarily, but that covers a whole big juicy range of subjects that we'll at least touch upon this morning. I thought I'd start over on the far side with Monica Younger. Next to her is Katie Lindstrom, and sitting closest to me this morning is Eric Cummins. Would you each just give listeners a 30-second introduction to what your position is, who you are?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Matt, for having us on today. I'm Monica Younger, and I am the coalition coordinator for the Wellspring Community Network. So basically, my job at Wellspring is to try to bring all the community people together from local agencies, local government, the private sector, volunteer organizations, to all come together to help us with creating stronger families in the community, reducing substance abuse, and promoting mental wellness.
Mm-hmm. Katie?
I'm Katie Lindstrom, and I'm the Deputy Director of the Pacific County Health Department. I've been involved with Wellspring since the beginning, which was about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Been an active board member, been an officer at times, and currently one of the grants that Wellspring has, the Drug Free Communities Grant, I serve as the project director for that grant.
Mm. And Eric?
Good morning. I'm Eric Cummins. I'm the Executive Director of Willapa Behavioral Health. I've been a part of Wellspring for about 4 years, a little under 4 years, and just it's a great organization that really is making a difference in our community.
Well, thanks to you all again for being here this morning. Just by way of getting the conversation rolling, there's a general perception that it's a challenging place to grow up. I think virtually any place is in the modern world, but we live here out on the fairly remote coastline, and it brings some unique challenges. But in talking yesterday with one of your key people, Roseanne McPhail, she was telling me about a new program that's coming up in just a week or 10 days or so, which is generally titled Most of Us, which I thought intriguingly flips this equation on its side and focuses more on the fact that most people are really doing basically pretty well, and we want to model those behaviors and focus on what's good about our communities. We'll get into some of the other challenges, but I thought we'd start out talking about that. Which of you feels most inclined to address that issue? Katie?
Sure. So the idea behind positive community norms is basically what you were just saying, that most kids, for example, aren't drinking, but most kids think that the majority are. So what we're looking to do with our positive community norms campaign is to close that gap between, you know, kids are estimating, you know, maybe 60-70% of their friends are drinking alcohol, for example, but in reality it's only about 20%, and we want to close that gap because kids, you know, peer pressure is alive and well. It does work. And so if kids think they're in the minority by not drinking, you know, they might be more likely to actually drink. So we want to close that gap and let them know, actually, you're in the majority if you're choosing the good behavior and the positive behavior. Mm-hmm. And then that idea can go along to parents. It can go along into the community. A lot of times the way we talk about ourselves as a community and say, oh, you know, the peninsula might be a hard place to live, or, you know, there's all these problems. But in reality, there's way more good than negative. And mm-hmm. so just kind of having that shift can be a really powerful thing in a community, and to help us bring, you know, more wellness and just a better attitude, I guess, about mm-hmm. where we live.
Well, I'm sure delighted to hear that, because I have always had such a positive attitude about the place. I think it's a wonderful place to grow up in you know, the vast majority of ways. And we've got good, solid schools and educators and supportive health networks in every sense. So it's really neat to focus on that. So that topic, with a whole bunch of related things, is the focus of this training session that comes up on February 14th and 15th, 9 to 4, I believe, each day at the Peninsula Church Center in Seaview. Talking to Roseanne yesterday, I know she was in the process of ordering materials, but it sounded as if you guys, if somebody still wants to sign up and show up for that, you'd welcome them with open arms, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to order extra materials so mm-hmm. that if, you know, people sign up after the deadline, they can still be there. We want to get as many people as possible.
Should they call someone or write anybody to let you guys know they're on their way?
Yeah, actually, if they want to register, they can send just an email to me at mm-hmm. koien@co.pacific.wa.us. Mm-hmm. That's my email address. Or you could also call Monica on the Wellspring phone number at 360-783-1090.
And I'll try to remember to ask you to repeat those sure. contacts before the program's over.
And we Monica. Also have all the information on our website, which is www.wellspringpacific.com. So all that information is there, including our contact information, including a flyer and a registration form for the Most of Us training.
Mm-hmm. What is your role, Eric, in Wellspring, or in, you know, obviously Willapa Counseling plays a key role in the area, and you might explain what that is just briefly, but beyond that, where is your intersection with Wellspring?
Well, Willapa Behavioral Health provides all the mental health and chemical dependency treatment services for the county. And when I first moved out here, I got involved. It was one of the first organizations I got involved with. And I come from Illinois, a little south of Chicago, and I'd been involved with similar organizations. But when I came out here, I really found that Wellspring was doing something, was making a difference, more so than in any of these similar type organizations I'd been involved with. You mentioned that it's an umbrella organization, and I think that's the strength of it. It brings not just agencies together, but it brings community members together. And really, that's, I think, where the momentum comes from to make changes. We've beyond money, beyond anything, it's getting people together to share ideas, to say, hey, I'm doing that here, and we're doing something similar over here. Let's combine those efforts. And that's what I've been most impressed with Wellspring about. I'm on the, executive board, kind of an at-large member now. I've been the secretary in the past of Wellspring. And it's really just about communicating what different things are going on in the community to help change our whole community and the lives there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really impressed with the membership of Wellspring. It's a great group of people. My good friend, Police Chief Flint Wright, is a key player in it. Just a good level-headed, good priority kind of guy. And I see that of everybody I think that I know to be involved in the group. Do you want to talk any more about the forthcoming training, or shall we move on to other of your many subject areas?
Well, I just wanted to mention, you know, as Katie was talking, it got me thinking. In the past, my history is I'm a therapist and working mm-hmm. with kids and families, and using the power of positive peer pressure, I guess, versus, you know, what we all think of peer pressure, I think is kind of the key to this. And I remember working with families so often, and the parents saying, oh, my kid's just going to drink, or my kid's just going to do this. And my response was always, you just gave your kid permission to do that mm-hmm. and that kind of behavior. And this has kind of given our kids permission to not do that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think the training's all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a well-known cachet to being a bad boy, as I was known to explore in my own sordid youth occasionally, but it really does come down to having a successful life depends on much of this positive sort of thing. So, you know, our culture somewhat glorifies misbehavior to a large extent. And so to look at ways in which ordinary people can prosper and succeed by doing good stuff, I figure is all for the better. Working down, you have a really good website, Wellspring Pacific, did you say?
Wellspringpacific.com.
Okay. And it goes through basically current activities, ways to get involved, contact information, the whole gamut of related subject matter. So anybody who's out there and wants to look into it further, that's a good place to start. You know, beyond the positive norms workshops coming up, and by the way, I gather that you needn't feel like you have to show up for, you know, two whole days of this stuff. It's, you know, you can to some extent pick from the menu of options, if I understand correctly.
Yeah. What the trainers have said is that day one stands alone. So the Wednesday stands alone. If you'd like to come to both days, that's great. Thursday, I think they sort of said, wouldn't make sense without Wednesday. But if people are just available on that first day, that we'd love to have anybody on one or both days.
Okay, good.
And I guess I'd like to add, too, that even if people can't necessarily come to the two-day training, that doesn't mean that they can't be involved in the campaign. I know there's a lot of small businesses on our peninsula and a lot of people who can't maybe get away for 2 days or even 1 day. But as we develop our campaign and as we gather momentum on this positive norm, community norms, we would like to have the involvement of anybody on the peninsula.
Good, Monica. We'll in the paper be covering the event to a considerable extent, so people can find out more about it and decide, you know, how to weigh into the whole subject.
And that's why the Chinook Observer is one of our great community partners at Wellspring. We really appreciate the partnership of the Chinook Observer. And one way that we honor our partners is to give them Asset Builder Awards. So every couple months, we have Asset Builder Awards where we honor the people who build assets in the youth and the families in our community. Some of those people might build assets directly by working with children. Some of those people might build assets indirectly by publicizing the good work that's happening with the partners at Wellspring. And so, Matt, I'd like to present you with this Asset Builder of the Month Award.
Oh, thank you so
for
much.
For the Chinook Observer.
Oh, we'll display that proudly. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
That's neat. So some of these things that are listed on your website have, you know, temporarily passed, but they all roll around again. The one that comes, that came immediately after the positive norms training is parenting classes. The ones that are mentioned are in January. I think the session runs through March, and I see also a strengthening families program that starts just this coming Monday and runs also through March. Which among you feels best game to discuss that? Monica?
I'd be happy to talk a little bit about our parenting programs. We have a very strong parent enrichment team at Wellspring, and it's all people who want to do things specifically around parenting and lifting up our families. We've been offering parenting classes for the past couple years, and we've had fairly good results, but just lately we've had a huge, huge interest in parenting classes. And the two classes that we're offering this time around are in conjunction with the Readiness to Learn program. So Readiness to Learn is helping support this. Wellspring is helping support this. The school district is helping support this. So we have a lot of partners coming together. Peninsula Baptist Church, Pastor David Curtis, has been instrumental in helping us support this. We have local restaurants who are helping us by donating portions of the meals that we have as part of the program. So really, it's the entire community pulling together to put these programs on. And then the parents that we have are fabulous. They're parents who just really are interested in making their home life more just conducive to having, you know, great relationships with their kids. So the two programs that we're doing right now are, one is called Strengthening Families, and you mentioned, Matt, that starts Monday. And the one that's going on right now is called Make Parenting a Pleasure. And Make Parenting a Pleasure is more of a program for kids 0 to 8 and their parents. So it's really, we're trying to make sure that we reach all of the ages of the families. Strengthening Families is more like for that 10 to 14 age range. And we have some really good curriculum. These are all evidence-based curriculum, which means they have been tested and they've been proven to make differences for families.
Is there a cost associated with it, or you know, any fine details points?
Yeah, that, it costs $25 per family, but if families can't afford that, if they're on some sort of assistance, we can always offer them scholarships.
And I see if people are interested in that, they should contact Jean Fisher at 783-2356.
Yes, Jean Fisher is our readiness to learn family advocate, and she's been a fabulous partner to Wellspring. She brings a lot of energy and a lot of great ideas.
And am I correct in thinking that if you've missed the start of the current one for smaller, younger kids, there will be probably something similar rolling around again? And we publish details about that in the Observer and the community calendar typically, I think, so always be on the lookout for anything Wellspring related there. This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer. I'm here after deadline at KMUN talking with three of the members of the Wellspring Committee in Pacific County. A lot of these issues also apply to Clatsop County, I should note, but this particular group is Pacific County oriented. Monica Younger is the coordinator, did you say, of it? And Katie Lindstrom is with the Pacific County Health Department. And Eric Cummins is with Willapa Behavioral Health. I see that next on my list, there are many grants available. Are those still available, and what do they do, Monica?
Actually, we just closed the mini grant window. So our team of our funding team met yesterday to make decisions on mini grants. That includes your friend Flint Wright and our esteemed librarian Michelle Zeely. She's been terrific at heading up the funding team. We had a small amount of money that we would wanted to spread around in the community so that people could have their own chance to make positive community change. We had a great number of people who had a huge number of great ideas. So we're excited that we can fund some of these ideas, and we also wish we had more money because I think there were more great ideas out there than we actually had money to fund. So,
what is an example of what you might fund?
I give examples from. I can give you some examples from last year. Some mini grants that we funded. One was to the, I believe it was the fire district up in Ocean Park, and they were working with kids on learning how to speak in public, kind of, I think it was a partnership through Toastmasters. So it was, you know, just a small amount of funding, I think, for some materials and maybe some training.
That's great, confidence so that they could, builder.
Exactly, kind of building those assets in kids again. Other mini grants we funded in the past. I know, speaking for my department specifically, we've been funded before to help with our Adventure Day Low Ropes course.
So which my daughter's participated in and loved.
Great. So those are a couple examples I can think of.
We did a NACEL out
library.
The outdoors group.
Oh yeah.
You know, kids they got to go different activities around around the coast and that
kayaking
like that. We helped the science science class from Iwaka Middle School visit Mount St. Helens last year.
I think we've helped with band camp. We helped sponsor a wrestling camp during the summer for Ocean Beach kids,
a summer reading program in Ocean Park.
The wrestling camp, I think, was put on by the high school wrestlers for young, for elementary age kids. So it was a good way to even have high school kids giving back to the community also.
And we really see the mini grants as it's really pretty strategic for us, because we feel like for a relatively small amount of our budget, we get a lot of match and we get a lot of buy-in from the community. Because, you know, we might fund, you know, the supplies for something, and that might be the catalyst that just pushes them over so they can actually do it. But we get so many volunteer hours, and we reach these groups that aren't necessarily Wellspring members, but they're people in the community or groups in the community that are making a difference. So we really see it as a huge payoff, I guess. It's a great investment for us.
Oh, that's great. Leverage a little bit and get a lot. Erica, and I'm sure the other two of you too, I imagine one of your big issues is this 0.1% sales tax to support mental health and drug and alcohol treatment. I haven't, I'm sorry, done as good a job of covering that issue as I probably could have. Can you tell us a little bit what that's about and where that sits right now? I know it's been, it's such a teeny amount of money for any individual person or purchase, but I know that nevertheless it has not exactly sailed through without, you know, some degree of trouble.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll let Katie does a good job of summarizing where it came from. And I can fill in the gaps around that.
Okay, Katie.
Sure. I sort of, I guess, coordinated a task group this summer to look at the 0.1%. What it is it's a local option tax the Washington State Legislature passed, I think, back in about 05, and counties could pass this tax. It's 0.1%. And it would fund mental health and substance abuse treatment. Currently, we do get funding through the state for both of those things, but they've really been cut back through the years, especially mental health has really been cut back almost to essentially a Medicaid-only kind
really
of a system. Really
slammed, right.
And chemical dependencies, I think, on that track also with this current year's budget. So a lot of counties have put together these task force to study the issue, you know, is the are the costs, the benefits, which, you know, which is going to come out ahead. And then how it works is that a county commission would make a simple majority vote, and that's how it could be passed. There have been some counties that have put it out to a vote of the people, which I think is where our commissioners are at this point. If this were to pass, they'd want to make sure that the people are going to support this. So that's, I think, sort of where it's at right now, Eric. I don't know. I know I can mention a couple things. Through the work of the group, they did determine that it would raise around $230,000 a year, somewhere in
that's
that ballpark.
My recollection.
And so it's not a lot of money. They did sort of identify priorities if the funding were to come through. One of the key funding priorities would be to put mental health counselors in our schools to close that gap so that the kids who don't have insurance and the kids who don't have Medicaid, the ones in the middle, could get service.
I think the one really great thing about this would be that the local control, this money would come to the county, not to Willapa Behavioral Health, and then the county could use it strictly for mental health and CD services, but to it could go to anybody that, you know, wanted to provide these services based on an RFP. But it really could be some unique programs for our area. It wouldn't have to be something that the state is saying we have to do. It could be, like I said, the school counselors or something that we see as a need in our community.
Yeah, there's been a horrible gap in school counseling for number of years now. It's just one of those things that's sort of fallen by the wayside as the state has struggled with financial problems, as everybody is right now, but it can make such a huge difference to people. One of the interesting programs one of my cousins I know was involved in the Seattle area for many years is Big Brothers Big Sisters. Is that something that's a possibility for our area, Monica?
Yes, that's something that we're very excited about. We have been trying to bring mentoring programs to the peninsula for a lot of years. And even though I'm a relative newcomer, I know that it's been a real issue. One of the great things about mentoring is that it will change the lives of children immeasurably. It's one of the things that makes more impact on a kid's life than anything else. So through Katie's creative financing with a little bit of funding from Wellspring and a little bit of funding from the county and a little bit of funding from the state, we were able to actually cobble together a half-time position to bring Big Brothers Big Sisters to the peninsula. So the gold standard of mentoring Big Brothers Big Sisters is coming to the peninsula. Our coordinator, Jessica Johnson has made some presentations at the elementary schools and is about to go into the high school to get bigs and littles and get people in this mentoring program.
Oh, wonderful.
I just spoke with her yesterday. She's anticipating right now that beginning of March, she'll actually start the first matches. So it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to talk a little bit more about how Wellspring brings everybody together, you know, hoping, you know, through this Big Brothers, Big Sisters, we get the schools involved. We get, you know, we have a Boys and Girls Club. And if we can tie all those together, it's that little bit of each group coming together and really making a major difference in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. So if anyone is out there listening, we definitely are going to be putting a major push on to get bigs, so mm-hmm. essentially mentors. So if anyone's interested, it's an hour a week mm-hmm. is what you sort of dedicate yourself to. For I think the minimum is they're looking for a year commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So and you'd be matched up with a student or a child from the Long Beach or Ocean Park School.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool thing, and it can make it. I think it makes a big difference in the kids' lives, but also in the mentors' lives. Mm. So,
yeah.
And it's going to be a school-based program. So basically, we'd be asking people to maybe take an hour out of their day, maybe give up their lunch hour once a week. And anyone who might be interested in doing this and having this kind of a huge impact on a child can call Jessica Johnson. Jessica's number is 360-783-1091. And, of course, you can always Google Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Southwest Washington mm-hmm. or go to the Wellspring website and find out more information.
Wonderful, Monica. Thanks. One of the programs that we've had in the paper a lot, we're nearing the end of our all-too-brief half hour, but I thought I'd touch upon it at least, is the tattoo training being fairly near and dear to my heart, having lost two close family members to lung cancer. Tattoo can... Whichever one of you runs that, tell us what that is.
I don't run it now. Mm-hmm. I used to actually run it when mm-hmm. it first came to the county. TATU stands for Teens Against Tobacco Use, mm-hmm. so TATU. And what it is, essentially, is we train high school kids who are interested. Usually we have, you know, 8 or 10 kids from Milwaukee High School, and we actually do it countywide. But essentially, we train the kids to give these kind of interactive presentations to younger kids. Mm-hmm. I think we go into fifth grade now. And so, you know, the kids will show the other kids the pig lungs. You know, we have one lung that looks like a smoker's lung, one that's a healthy lung, and then we let the fifth graders touch it. And it's, or we do other, you know, just interactive kind of demonstrations on the dangers of tobacco use, essentially. So what's really cool about it is the younger kids, the fifth graders, totally idolize the high school kids mm-hmm. way more than they would me coming in and
right.
talking about it. So it's really cool. And like the young kids are, their eyes light up and they really respect and think these older kids are cool. And
mm-hmm.
so it's been a really successful program. And I should mention that Sarah Taylor at the high school is the person mm-hmm. who coordinates that.
She's
now.
She's been great about it. Yeah.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. So she's really done a good job with that.
Good. Well, it's, yeah, I think about my poor big sister who was such a beautiful, dynamic person and just withered away to lung cancer in her 50s, and it's just such a loss. You just think about what it does to your health and skin and everything else. Just don't do it.
Yep.
You kids.
You like to gross them
yeah.
out when they're little.
Good. Well, it's sure been a pleasure having all of you here with me this morning. Very good job to all of you. I really appreciate it, and I know the community does too. Monica, run through us for us again just the basic contact numbers before we end up.
Yeah, basically anyone can get in touch with us via our website. It's always the easiest thing, and it has all the information on it. It's wellspringpacific.com, and to reach the main office of Wellspring, it's 360-783-1090.
All right. Thanks very much. Thanks, Terry. This is Matt Winters from the Chinook Observer after Deadline on KMUN, and I'll talk to you all again soon. Thanks.